I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the local government news roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more. Coming up today on the local government news roundup, municipal monitors back at City Hall in Greater Geelong. Investigations continue into asbestos discoveries in local parks with more sites being tested. Barrandara criticised over a plan to restore concrete roads. A New South Wales CEO announces retirement. A mayor advocates for councils to be stripped of more planning powers. The appointment of a new CEO for the city of Launceston announced, and another Queensland CEO resigns after the new council is sworn in. All of that ahead and more on the local government news roundup. Hello, I'm Chris Eddy, back with another selection of news from and about councils across Australia and beyond on the Local Government News Roundup, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. Greater Geelong City Council is set to receive continued governance support with the appointment of municipal monitors, Mr. Peter Dorling and Mr. Mark Davies, who will be serving until the end of December this year. Minister for Local Government, Melissa Horne, has appointed Mr. Dorling and Mr. Davies from this week through until the end of the year. They'll be working with CEO Ali Wastey to ensure the full implementation of governance improvements and to ensure stability at the council during the election of a new mayor following the October 2024 elections. Previously, Mr. Dorling and Ms. Prue Digby were assigned as monitors for the council for 12 months starting from January 2023, following recommendations from Local Government Victoria and the Chief Municipal Inspector. The final report from Mr. Dorling and Ms. Digby acknowledges the council's progress, but also underlines the need for further improvements in governance policies, processes and practices. That report is now available through the Local Government Victoria website. In the report dated the 23rd of January, the monitors say the observed issues of greatest concern related to meeting procedures, decision making and the uses of notices of motion, the councillor code of conduct and councillor behaviour. They observed an increasing and unusually high number of complaints between councillors, both informally and via formal processes, and were concerned that tensions and division in the councillor group would escalate ahead of council elections later this year. Investigations are continuing into the source of mulch at parks and reserves in Melbourne's west, where traces of asbestos have been found. In its latest update, the EPA has confirmed small amounts of asbestos in material at P.A. Burns Reserve in Altona, the fifth site with a confirmed discovery in Hobsons Bay. Samples were taken for testing yesterday from a sixth Hobsons Bay site, Dennis Reserve in Williamstown, as well as from Fitzgerald Square Reserve in Sunshine West, which is in Brimbank City Council. Confirmed asbestos in the soil at Hoskin Reserve Coburg in the Merribeck Council area is believed to be from historic buried material and not associated with mulch products. Test results are pending from samples taken at Shore Reserve in Pasco Vale South. The EPA said it's working with Hobsons Bay City Council on potential sources of the mulch at parks in Altona North and is investigating potential sources based on intelligence received. The city of Murrindarra plans to restore several concrete roads deemed to have heritage significance, despite the cost being up to three times more than asphalt and posing safety concerns for drivers. The Guardian reports that the council intends to restore about 15% of its concrete roads constructed in the early 20th century, but critics argue it's an overreach of heritage protections and is tone-deaf given the current housing and climate crises. The plans are contained in a draft policy that has been out for community consultation in recent weeks. Warrnambool City Council has joined a growing number of councils deciding to continue and expand its aged and community care services despite the Australian Government's reforms to the Commonwealth Home Support Program. The council, which is the largest provider of in-home aged care and community services in Warrnambool, serves between 1,200 and 1,400 residents. The decision was informed by an independent review and community consultation, which revealed overwhelming satisfaction with the current services and concerns about the impact of the Commonwealth reforms. Warrnambool joins Moyneshire, the City of Whittlesea, Mount Alexandershire and Greater Dandenong councils in confirming their ongoing involvement in aged and community care services, as well as committing to explore a potential expansion of their involvement. Staying in Warrnambool for a moment, the council is continuing to advocate for the best possible outcome regarding an offshore wind farm zone, addressing community concerns about potential impacts on whales, fishing and tourism. Mayor Ben Blain recently met with Climate Change and Energy Minister Chris Bowen in Sydney to discuss the issues, including onshore infrastructure and other opportunities. The next stage of the government's offshore wind area initiative involves issuing feasibility licences to interested companies with environmental assessments and further community feedback opportunities to follow. The rural city of Wangaratta has reached a significant milestone for an innovative social housing project, with the Victorian Government providing financial support and removing a land title restriction. The project, developed in partnership with Nested Development Social Enterprise, will offer a mix of social, affordable and key worker apartment-style living, along with amenities like childcare services and a cafe. The project aligns with the Victorian Government's plan to deliver affordable homes in the state's northeast and is expected to stimulate economic growth by generating local employment opportunities. In other news, Greater Shepparton City Council has agreed to sell part of 45 Parkside Drive, Shepparton, to facilitate an early parenting centre and staff accommodation. The decision was made following expressions of interest from the Department of Health and Goulburn Valley Health. The council is currently undertaking a feasibility study for the remaining stages of the Parkside Gardens estate development. Mildura Rural City Council is advancing the Trail of Lights project, exploring potential alternative locations due to challenges with the proposed Lake Kalala site. The challenges include site accessibility, additional funding for infrastructure and distance from major centres. The council is seeking community feedback and will need Victorian Government approval for any new location. And Greater Geelong's population grew by 2.2% in the year to June 2023, making it the fourth fastest growing urban area in Australia. The growth has brought the total population to 282,809. The largest contributors were net overseas migration, internal migration and natural increases. Significant population increases were experienced at Barwon Heads, Armstrong Creek, Grovedale and Mount Dunede. Keeping you up to date on the latest developments across Australia and beyond in the world of local government, this is the Local Government News Roundup. It's the Wednesday, 10th of April edition, episode number 321, brought to you as always by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, and by Davidson, recruitment and business advisory services for local government. Now for some stories from around the nation. Manjeet Gruel, the first female CEO of Sutherland Shire Council in New South Wales, is set to retire after over 5 years in the role and 31 years of service to the community. Manjeet, who has held various leadership roles within the organisation, including in engineering, operations and director of Shire Services, has been a pioneer for women in leadership. She expressed gratitude for her rewarding career and is looking forward to spending time with her family and friends. Manjeet will continue in the role until early July to allow for a comprehensive recruitment process for her replacement. Meanwhile, the council is opposing the New South Wales government's plan to shift the cost and responsibility of monitoring water quality at popular swimming spots to local councils. The Daily Telegraph reported this week that the concerns have arisen from the state government's proposed changes, which would require councils to self-fund water quality monitoring from July. Sutherland Shire Council argues that the cost and responsibility should remain with the state and has expressed concern about the financial burden and monitoring responsibilities being shifted to local councils. Bayside Council in South Sydney has defended its use of solid yellow line markings, which indicate a no-stopping zone, as residents face hefty fines for not understanding the rule. Yahoo News has reported that the council chose the markings over traditional no-stopping signs to reduce visual clutter from having too many signs. Despite being introduced in 1999 and written into New South Wales legislation 16 years ago, many drivers are unaware of what the yellow lines mean. Motorists stopping on the lines face a fine of $272 or $352 and 2 demerit points in a school zone. Parramatta's Lord Mayor Pierre Esber says local councils should have some planning powers removed due to the politicisation of major infrastructure decisions by elected officials. In a report from the Sydney Morning Herald, Mayor Esber suggests reducing the number of councillors and making those remaining work full-time to professionalise local government. He also advocates for a complete restructure of local councils, given the growing number of state-significant developments and the shifting responsibilities of councils. Mayor Esber has made the comments ahead of his pending retirement at the upcoming council elections in September. A routine quality check at a Shoalhaven City Council waste depot has uncovered a piece of bonded asbestos in an unused mulch stockpile. The stockpile has been isolated and will be assessed by a licensed asbestos assessor. Precautionary measures, including the creation of an exclusion zone and warning signage, have been implemented. The mulch, mostly comprised of residential garden waste, had not been distributed outside the depot. Assessment results and additional testing recommendations are expected in the coming weeks. To Tasmania, and Sam Johnson, OAM, has been appointed as the new Chief Executive Officer for the City of Launceston and is set to assume his duties in July. Mr. Johnson was selected from nearly 40 candidates after a four-month national and international recruitment process. He brings multi-sector experience, including senior roles at ANZ and as Mayor at Port Augusta City Council, and he's the outgoing CEO at the District Council of Mount Remarkable. Mr. Johnson was awarded an OAM for services to the local government sector in 2021 and says he'll relocate from South Australia to Launceston with his family. To Queensland, and Bundaberg Regional Council has accepted the resignation of CEO Steve Johnston in a unanimous vote, according to a report from the Courier-Mail. Mayor Helen Blackburn said the resignation paves the way for a more effective operation of council, in line with her commitment for more transparency and accountability. Stuart Randall, the current General Manager of Infrastructure Services, will serve as interim CEO until a permanent replacement is found, a process estimated to take about 6 months. Mr. Johnston is the second Queensland Council CEO to depart on the heels of recent elections, following Maranoa Regional Council CEO Edwina Marks's resignation last week. The Townsville Bulletin reports today that the Queensland Parliament is expected to lift a ban on Troy Thompson, the controversial mayor-elect of Townsville, to allow him to complete an induction course for his new role. Thompson was previously banned from the parliamentary precinct due to a publicity stunt in 2020. Despite some post-election disappointments and connections to a right-wing conspiracy group, Thompson is set to be sworn in at Townsville City Council. The Department of Housing, Local Government Planning and Public Works has mandated additional training for all newly elected mayors and councillors. And let's head across to Western Australia. Sporting clubs in the city of Rockingham owe over $165,000 in usage charges from before the current financial year, according to a report from the Sound Telegraph. The council's CEO will investigate why the clubs are struggling to pay their bills and consider whether council grants could help cover the costs. The practice of issuing invoices for utilities spanning several years will also be reviewed. And the Western Australian government is considering reforms to local council meeting procedures, including a proposal to allow mayors to silence disorderly councillors after three warnings and to eject disruptive members of the public. Government News has reported that the reforms aim to standardise procedures across the state, making council meetings more accessible and understandable to the public, and saving money by eliminating the need for individual local governments to develop and review local laws. The West Australian Local Government Association supports the standardisation, but notes the challenge of incorporating diverse existing local laws. Queensland councils are electing deputy mayors. Here's a few of the latest announcements. Councillor Paul Truscott has been appointed as deputy mayor of Fraser Coast, a role he held previously from March 22 to March 23. The new Western Downs mayor and councillors met for the first time yesterday to appoint the region's deputy mayor and councillor portfolios for the term ahead. Councillor Kylie Byrne was appointed to the deputy mayor position. Councillor Tracy McPhee has been appointed deputy mayor at Bundaberg Regional Council at a post election meeting held the same day as the swearing-in of the new mayor and councillors. And Councillor Brian Stockwell, a fourth-term councillor, has been elected as the new deputy mayor of Noosa. Councillor Stockwell was first elected to the council in the 1980s. Disaster assistance is now available in 13 local government areas in New South Wales following flooding from the 5th of April. The assistance includes funding for local councils, assistance for residents, grants for replacing lost household items and essential structural repairs, concessional loans for small businesses and non-profit organisations, and freight subsidies for primary producers. And the Local Government Association of the Northern Territory is inviting applications for its next CEO. Davidson is handling the process, with applications due by the 24th of April. Before the international spotlight, a quick reminder about a series of workshops coming up from the Victorian Local Governance Association designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken for workshops in May on standing for local government and local women leading change. You can find out more by visiting vlga.org.au. Time for the international spotlight. We're going to start today in the US of A. Los Angeles City Council is considering a temporary halt on dog breeding permits to address overpopulation in city-run animal shelters. DailyNews.com reports that the moratorium would be lifted once shelters maintain a capacity of 75% or less for three consecutive months. The city has seen a steady increase in the number of dogs, cats, and rabbits in its shelters, leading to overcrowding and strain on staff. In 2023, the city issued approximately 1,200 breeding permits. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is defending a new AI chatbot that has been providing incorrect advice to business owners, including suggestions that would involve breaking the law. The My City chatbot, which uses Microsoft's Azure AI service, was launched as a pilot in October and was intended to provide actionable and trusted information to business owners. However, it's been reported to be giving wrong answers, such as advising employers they can take a cut of their workers' tips. Despite the issues, the chatbot remains online, with the city and Microsoft working to fix the problems, according to a report from Reuters news agency. In Detroit, a new 10-mile autonomous vehicle shuttle route is being planned between the city's East Riverfront and Michigan Central Station. The City of Detroit, in partnership with Bedrock, Michigan Central, and the State Office of Future Mobility and Electrification, will pilot the route called Connect. The service, set to open this summer, will be provided at no cost to riders, with $1.5 million in funding for first-year operations, according to a report from WXYZ.com. The Connect route aims to refine an autonomous vehicle transit service and position Detroit at the forefront of the autonomous vehicle race. Let's head up to Canada now. A councillor at Medicine Hat in Alberta says she's been subjected to racial slurs and online hate in the weeks following a council decision to sanction its mayor. Councillor Shida Sharps filed a code of conduct complaint that led to sanctions against Mayor Lindsay Clark after a third-party investigation. ChatNewsToday.com reported that Mayor Clark has filed for a judicial review of the sanctions, which included stripping her of mayoral powers and cutting her pay by 50%, and she's called for the appointment of an independent integrity commissioner. A group of about 50 supporters attended a council meeting this week, voicing opposition to the sanctions against the mayor. A councillor at the city of Sault-Sainte-Marie in Canada has been found in violation of the city's code of conduct by making inappropriate remarks about city staff at a live-streamed council meeting. Integrity Commissioner Antoinette Blunt found that Stefan Kinach was critical of the city's spending on consultants and accused staff of working against the council. Councillor Kinach was trained in Ukraine as a dentist and was first elected to the council in 2022 while working to qualify to practice in Canada. Ms. Blunt has determined that Councillor Kinach needs to apologise for his conduct at a meeting of the council. And Norfolk County Council in southern Ontario is considering selling several county-owned green spaces for housing development to improve its financial position, despite opposition from residents. 13 properties, including parts of well-used parks, are under consideration. The proceeds from any sales would be used to enhance nearby parks and replenish Norfolk's reserves. The council assures that most of the green space will remain untouched. And from the UK, an agreement for a major city centre regeneration scheme in York, one of the UK's largest, has been signed by Homes England, Network Rail Property, McLaren Property and Arlington Real Estate. The project, supported by the City of York Council and the National Railway Museum, aims to transform one of England's largest brownfield sites, delivering 2,500 new homes, 20% of which will be affordable, and creating up to 1 million square feet of office, retail and hospitality space. Localgov.co.uk reported the project is expected to generate up to 6,500 jobs. And a future council's pilot scheme has identified systemic barriers to digital transformation in local government in the UK. Computer Weekly reported that the barriers include organisational structures, central government regulation, market forces, limited funding and a rapidly changing technology landscape. The Department for Levelling Up Housing and Communities has proposed solutions such as strategic alignment, problem analysis, reviewing work methods and investing in skills and new technologies. The department has also acknowledged the need for more guidance and support from central government. And that brings another edition of the Local Government News Roundup to a close. This has been episode 321, recorded on Wednesday the 10th of April 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson. You can find the links to the stories referenced and a full transcript at lgnewsroundup.com. While you're there, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with our next edition on Friday. Until then, thanks for listening and bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. As Victorian councils go to elections later this year, the VLGA is ready to support communities and councils in good governance. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on standing for local government and local women leading change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 Local Government Election Pre-Candidate Prospectus, available soon. Find out more about how the VLGA can support your council and community during this important time in the local government election cycle. Visit vlga.org.au.